This is a Main Hustle Media podcast.
All the way from the A, you listen to my favorite lesbian on BRQ.
Hey, stay locked in with your favorite lesbian on Black Radical Queer. Yo.
Hey y'all, this is Javia Nicole, aka your favorite lesbian, and you're listening to Black Radical Queer Podcast, our stories on our own terms. Hey y'all, this is Javia Nicole. Welcome to another episode of Black Radical Queer Podcast. This episode is actually the first BRQ couples therapy segment. So I have Courtney with me as promised. We won't do the typical introduction thing because at this point, I think that it's season three, so folks know who you are by now. So I just kind of want to be able to manage you all's expectations for what this segment will look like. I purchased this card set from the Skin Deep, and some of you may have seen they have like YouTube videos where they have folks come and talk to each other. I'm basically in their studio, so they have a deck of cards that has different questions on it, and they have all different kinds based on different types of relationships. So they have some for couples, some for friends. They have some for folks who are dating, family members, all types of things like that. So they have a wide range of these sets, and it's just called the And is what the deck is called. But the one that I got for Courtney and I is the long-term couples. I believe that's right. Yeah. It's the couples edition long-term. And so what we'll be doing is starting out this segment with each of us kind of like pulling a card from the deck. We've already pulled cards and asking a question from the card, and we'll both answer. And that's just how we'll start. And then that's just to kind of just start having a conversation or whatever, and also give some insight into our relationship. And then we'll get into whatever the questions are for the day. And it's just things that I've compiled from various marriage and family therapy or counseling, wellness, different resources. And all of the resources that I've gathered, I try to get from the perspective of preferably Black professionals, like Black counselors, Black wellness professionals, or queer wellness professionals or women. So I try to kind of not just look at things that old white men had to say. So that was kind of, that's the slant on everything. So we will get into this. I'll let Courtney start with her. Of course, we haven't looked at the cards yet. We just pull cards. So I'll let her ask or read what's on her card first, and then we'll just go from there.
Okay. How do you know when I've truly forgiven you? You can answer.
That's hard, I guess, or heavy. How do I know when you've truly forgiven me? I guess just in how you treat me. I mean, and it's not like you just like treat me terribly or nothing like that, but I think that if there's been some type of conflict or something, and you've gotten to a place where you're where it's like not either not bothering you as much, or you know, you're like, just you've decided to move past it, then you will, if there's distance that you've created, you will close that distance. So if it's physical distance or emotional or verbal distance, you'll close that distance. I guess that's the best way I can describe that. I guess close it and also not be like guarded, because you can still like kind of close this and still kind of have your guard up, but like to just be not guarded or to just be vulnerable about like what's bothering you or how you feel or whatever. So I guess closing distance plus vulnerability.
I don't know, this is an odd question, because for forgiveness, I feel like there has to be some kind of, like, trespass or something. So, I don't know. I don't know what the hell I do. I don't know, forgiven seems like such an extreme word.
Maybe I'm thinking, of it not, I don't know. Yeah, because I'm thinking about it like, oh, if we disagree or something like that, how do we kind of get back from that? Because, yeah, but if I think about the word, like, forgiveness, it is like heavy, like, you hurt me. You know, so like, and that is more difficult.
Like, in that case, I don't even know of a time where, I mean, you could tell me where I've done something to you that needed to be forgiven. I'm trying to think of, like, something crazy. Maybe I hurt your feelings. Not really bad.
I don't know. It is kind of an odd question, I think.
That's just the way I think of the word forgiven. So I don't know if maybe I'm thinking too deeply. Because if we're supposed to be taking it, like, more lightly, then if we just, like, have... If I get on your nerves and you storm upstairs, how do I know when you're over it? Is that what it's asking? Because if that's the case,
I don't know.
Whenever you see something funny on Instagram or Facebook, you be like, look at this. And you start laughing. That's when I know you're over
it. I don't know. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's valid in terms of the word. The word forgiveness is kind of loaded, I think. So it is hard to, because I'm thinking about, like, just... reconciliation, like, for whatever, I'm not really, like, putting a certain degree to it. Like, it has to be, like, this really egregious thing. I'm just thinking about, like, just kind of reconciliation. But I think forgiveness is a loaded word, and I have my own, like, stuff around forgiveness. So I can't say that I've really, I just, it's hard for me to say that's the word I would use. Right. In our relationship, like, are there things I've had to get over? Yes. Or things I had to, like, unpack or reconcile? Or, like, have you hurt my feelings? Yes. But when I think about, like, things that have happened in my life where I feel like forgiveness would apply to, when I think about kind of all the rhetoric around forgiveness and the types of things that people do and folks are like, oh, you should forgive them, it's really, like, a lot of times it'd be some abusive stuff, like, it'd be on some other stuff. And that's just not what I would apply to our relationship. Because the things that I think of where I would think of the word forgiveness is usually in situations where I would not forgive. That might sound bad, but honestly, that's, like, honest.
For forgiveness, I feel like it's related to some sort of trauma created or caused, whether intentional or unintentional. And I'm willing to work on and give forgiveness if it was unintentional. And I feel like the person has, you know, bettered themselves.
Has remorse and...
You know what I mean? Something like that. So that's, I guess, for me, forgiveness is a more serious word.
Okay.
So, like, again, you can tell me if I've done something to you that requires forgiveness, and then I can tell you how I know when you've forgiven me. I would say, like, on the other hand, the only time that I think you've done something to me where I felt like I needed to forgive you was, like, a few years ago. That situation, like, around Valentine's Day.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can think of was probably right before I moved out here, that exchange and just kind of the timing and all of that. But the thing is, it's like, I just can't, like, come up with a list of things. Because I feel like if that's how I felt about our relationship, then I would be reevaluating our relationship. If I'm just like, dang, I gotta, that's all this stuff I had to forgive you for, you know, I don't know. That's a different kind of situation. But I think in both of those situations, you know, communication and vulnerability made a difference. I feel like both were times where we're very, vulnerable in a scary way. Like, we both had to be very, like, vulnerable with each other. So, and I think without that we would not have been able to, like, move forward, because it just requires that type of openness and, like, really just kind of put, like, really putting your pride, you know, aside and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but how do I know that you forgave me for that? Hell, I didn't. And
I mean, I still came.
Yeah, that don't mean you forgave me when you got out here. It wasn't like we was cool. So
yeah,
and you really have. I mean, I guess you had a choice, but
yeah,
like,
I did. I won't say I didn't have a choice because I definitely didn't feel like that. And which I told you at the time, sure. I was like, I'll have a choice, but
it's like you came reluctantly. That's what it seemed like. Like you was when you came out here, you was in a bad mood and. You was already, you know, missing your family and then you kind of fell into depression like almost immediately. And
it's a huge life change.
No, I understand that. But
it's like something that can absolutely, even without all the other stuff, something that can be a huge trigger for, you know, mental stuff. So it was just a lot. Because too, I think it's just a lot of strain. Like we also had to think about like finances and stuff. And it's just, there's a lot of stressful things happening at one time. So. Anyway,
I know. I'm just saying in terms of the question, like, when did I know that you had forgiven me for that? It was a long, long time that we basically just, there was no point when I knew, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Just kind of.
Yeah. It's not like a light bulb, even with, you know, on both ends on my end too, in terms of something that required me to be forgiven. I can't say that I knew. An exact moment is just was something that was day by day. It wasn't just like a switch.
How do you know? And I guess we're still together.
We're still together. We communicated about it, even very difficult things, mm-hmm. as opposed to completely, you know, shutting each other out or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. That was a hard question. All right, you want to move on?
Whoop de whoop.
Okay, so I guess this is maybe a brighter, because that was kind of heavy. Forgiveness is a loaded word and a loaded concept for me. And I've already mentioned that on the podcast before. Like, and of course, my wife is my wife, so she already know I got.
Yeah, I'm not a nigga.
Wow, I have, you know, issues around forgiveness. All right, so the question I pulled is, how do we compliment each other and how has that changed over time? And it's compliment with the E, not an I. So not you talking about my booty, but compliment with the E.
Oh, like how we vibe.
Essentially, yes.
Oh, because that was actually the movie, the first thing I said. I don't say I talk about your booty.
Oh, Lord.
Damn.
That's all she talk about.
That's not true. I talk about them thighs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about how do we vibe and how we go together, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we both chocolate. We're both the same height.
Oh my god. Okay. Focus. Okay, we are recording.
Are you gonna answer?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a little wild. You a little not. You know, you're always there to give me side eye like that.
I'm literally just looking at you. I was not giving you side eye.
Sure. Yeah, you're always there to give me side eye whenever I guess I get a little too out of control. You're the prude to my perv.
Wow.
I mean, you're pervy, but it's a lot more subtle.
I'm more reserved.
You're reserved. I'm raunchy.
That doesn't mean I'm not a prude. Let's be clear. Not a prude.
I mean, you're 31 now, almost 32. So.
Yeah.
You're granny age. You're kind of.
Granny? All right. I got your granny. Let's move on. All right.
No, but compliment, you know, I don't know. It's interesting because I was thinking about that recently because I was going to tell my therapist, like, you know, sometimes I'm a hothead. I already told her that part. But as I've been painting you in therapy, as far as she knows, you're a very calm person. But I haven't told her that you can get turned too. And that sometimes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sometimes, you know, you're not the best person to help me when I'm getting turned, because you'd be like, yeah, you're right. You know? So,
I mean,
we kind of compliment each other.
Am I supposed to be like, nah? Like,
she don't know you a little crazy too. So she thinks you're an angel. But
I'm worse than you. I mean, well, I won't say worse, but
I think we compliment each other in that way, because I think our mindsets are similar.
For better or for worse. Sometimes it's like our mindsets are similar and it's crazy. We both similarly crazy because I do recognize there's sometimes where, you know, like Courtney might tell me something and I in the moment, I feel like, you know, on one hand, she may kind of like want me to kind of bring her down some, but then it's like, but no, this is like valid. So I'll be feeling some kind of way. Yeah, I don't know. So like if something like somebody upset her or something. And instead of me being like, oh, well, you know, they may just, you know, instead of me going into like therapist, counselor type of mode, I'm like, well, no, fuck that. No, that's true. Like that's valid. They get on your goddamn nerves and you go sit their ass down, you know. So it's a balance, I guess I have to work on, because sometimes I'm like more in counselor, like kind of just calm balance. And then other times I'm like, no, they get on your nerves. Like I want to pull up. So it's really no in between.
But how else do we compliment each other?
You're supposed to be okay. Yeah, I mean, you're answering right now, so get it together. We're recording, so can you just please cooperate so that this won't be a ridiculously long episode because you're being raunchy perv. Ay.
First of all, you gotta out me like that. Yeah, we compliment each other physically, mentally, chemistry, Ely.
What?
Chemically, biologically,
niggly.
You know, now we both from. No, I'm just saying.
Don't even.
Yeah, we vibe.
That's it.
You know, I think our energies, our masculinity, our femininity, those energies, you know, go well together because, like, I present more masculine. You present more feminine. However, you got more masculine energy and I'm more of a little feminine on the inside, whatever. And them things match.
You're a
up.
Lady.
I'm a bitch, straight up. I ain't no lady.
My wife is not a bitch. You're a lady.
Actually, I am a bitch like Megan Thee Stallion.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd rather be a
B-I-T-C-H.
See, look. My nigga.
Wow.
We one in the same right there. You know what I'm saying? We got, what's that? Where would the S?
Simpatico.
Yeah, see, look. See?
Not simpatico. I'm done.
You already knew. It's so many words of S's.
Okay, this is only supposed to be like the opening, like warm up.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And this about to be half the damn episode.
All right, I'm sorry, baby. Go ahead, answer.
All right. So how do we compliment each other? How's that changed? All right. So I think that I know you got all off track, just digressed. So I think that in the early days of our relationship, the way that we complimented each other was that Courtney just kind of showed me that I could really like have fun with someone who I was like, you know, romantically vibing with or whatever. And just like literally just have a good time without
let loose,
without it being a lot of pressure, because I didn't feel like even though I knew she liked me a lot. I still didn't feel pressured. Like, I don't know. I didn't feel like there was this expectation like of I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but I just didn't feel a lot of pressure from her. I felt like, you know, even though she really liked me, it wasn't like she was trying to press me into a relationship. It was just like, you know, let's actually enjoy each other. And like, yeah, I have that interest, but I'm still not like, so what are we? And when we go, you know, it wasn't like.
This on the first time?
Yes.
So what she's telling you is when I was playing it cool, she was taking it that way. But really.
I know she was just playing it cool. Yeah. But what I'm saying is at the time that was complimentary. That's I'm talking nice. About how we compliment each other.
Yeah, that was nice.
So at the time that was complimentary for the place that I was in and what I had been through. So over time, I think that. And then in the early days or whatever, I think that on the flip side, I was able to. Kind of just be more like grounded for her and also show her some reciprocity and just like treat her like a lady. I mean, you know, regardless of her presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was important because from my understanding, that was not what she was accustomed to. And I understood because I had also been through that of like kind of being not being treated like a lady or whatever. So over time, I think that kind of what she said in terms of like
me being, I guess, calmer. And even though, like, in general, Courtney's fairly calm, she'd be more amped than me. But, like, in general, she's not, like, she doesn't cause me anxiety. Like, because some folk, I'd be like, ooh, I can't take it. It's overwhelming. So she's not overwhelming. I think the biggest way that we complement each other, from early on to now, is that we are able to be a safe space for one another. And I think that's only become more true over time. Like, I think as the relationship has progressed, we've been able to be that more and more for each other. Because I know if don't nobody else, it's just certain things that I don't have to explain to Courtney. Like, I know I can just kind of give her the real brief synopsis and she's going to get it, because she's also, you know, a Black queer woman or whatever. So, and that's very relieving and comforting to not have to, like, explain my fucking, give a, like, summary of my identity before I can even get into anything else. So, all right. So anyway, that was just supposed to be a little warm up. It wasn't even supposed to be that long. So, yeah, that was twice as long as it was supposed to be. All right. So moving on. So I have a few, luckily it ain't a whole bunch of questions. But because that took a little longer. So I talked about, you know, the question was asking about, like, how we complement each other. And, you know, I was saying that because Courtney is a Black queer woman, like I am, like, there are things that we can understand about each other. And so it's nice to be able to have somebody that you can relate to, who can help you to, like, process through things, or just who you can feel comfortable with. Right. And so that's why I am very much, an advocate for folks having a robust support system that includes, like, therapists or counselors or wellness coaches. Okay. So if you need a wellness coach, you need to hit up Bianca from Spectra Wellness, because she does wellness coaching, particularly for folks who are working in a nonprofit industry. So Spectra Wellness offers coaching, retreat space for activists that are trying to manage work and life, to have that balance as well as with their activism. So for anyone who is working in the nonprofit industry, you know how it is to feel overworked, undercompensated. Well, we all know how that feels. and it's also dealing with imposter syndrome. So what Bianca does with Spectra Wellness, she used her many years of experience, which I can actually vouch for because I have seen Bianca work. I have worked with her. When we worked at a clinic together, I got to see her do wellness coaching and patient advocacy, because that's what we did. And she's also done that for various, in various nonprofit roles, like with different organizations. So I have seen her do that. So Bianca is a Black queer project manager with a lot of years of experience in advocacy and wellness. And she has worked with a diverse range of people, and she's able to basically help them get closer to their wellness goals. So she's combined her compassion for people with her strong penchant for accountability. And she shows you how to create the boundaries that you need in work, life, and activism so that you can pour from a full cup, which y'all know I've already talked about. So I'm very excited to see her share her strengths, her gifts with the world. And so you should follow her on Instagram. So Spectra Wellness is S-P-E-K-T-R-A Wellness. So at Spectra Wellness on Instagram, the first three people who follow her and DM her with the code BlackRadQueer, so B-L-K-R-A-D-Q-W-R, you will get your first coaching session for 50% off. If you work at a nonprofit, especially a large nonprofit, then coaching really should be a part of your professional development budget, because you deserve to feel supported at work. In the nonprofit industry, a lot of times we do fight for justice. And so the organizations that you work for should be accountable to doing that work internally as well. So get some balance, you know, get affirmed in your work and in your life, and get some coaching from Spectra Wellness. And once again, the Instagram is at Spectra Wellness, S-P-E-K-T-R-A Wellness. All right. So the first question, Courtney, is, because I had to kind of skip ahead because I didn't want to wait too late in the episode to do my plug for Spectra. All right. So before we got married, how did you envision marriage in general? And then how did you envision marriage with me?
How much earlier?
It's up to you, girl.
Well, okay, let's go back to the beginning of time.
All right.
It was 1200 BC. you know, Christ wasn't yet arrived. And so I didn't think much of marriage without
you
Christ.
You didn't exist. So you didn't think about anything. All right.
So I just didn't think about marriage for me. I thought it was going to be a hoe my whole life, or I was going to be lonely.
Really?
Yeah, one or the other. I mean, I guess I was with that chick. I mean, she cool. We cool. But, you know, I wasn't happy. I was just going to be with her because she was there.
Wow.
Or else I was going to be lonely after I was done with her, I guess. I don't know. Dating is hard. I don't know how people be out here doing it.
So you didn't have any vision of marriage when you proposed? Like, not to me, but in the past?
Girl, that shit wasn't real.
Oh, my God. Okay, you serious? I'm being for real.
First of all, I got her a $20 ring off of eBay.
Oh, my God. Why does that matter?
I was, like, 20 years old, dude. That shit was not real.
Okay, but you had no concept or anything. You just was like, I'm just going
to... I knew he was not going to get married when I did that. Okay?
Wow.
It was all cute. Right.
Okay, so it was a promise ring?
Whatever
but you
want to call it.
Made a promise.
Whatever you want to call it. Okay.
Okay.
It was some dingy hotel downtown Atlanta.
Yeah. All-star
weekend. I don't know what the hell I was doing. How did I end up there?
Okay, so we're going to move on from that then. All right, so you didn't have any, like, you didn't envision marriage. Like, what were your thoughts about marriage? You had, you know, seeing your parents be married, all the kind of stuff. Like, what were your, you know, you had no kind of nothing?
Well, I just didn't think that one person... that I could be a one person forever. Okay. It just didn't... For me, I thought it was against human nature to only...
Very interesting.
...have sex with one person for the rest of your life. Like, I don't know, it seemed boring.
It's so interesting that she says this. With me being poly and the grief that caused early on, but so interesting.
Yeah.
Because I guess she felt that way until me, and then she was like, oh, hell no.
No.
I ain't trying to shave you nobody.
No, that's not the same thing.
No. But anyway.
Uh-huh.
Girl, hush. Anyway.
So.
And then, so the question was, how did you envision marriage in general and then marriage with me?
So then, once I was with you and I was like, yeah, we probably gonna get married or whatever. I don't know. I mean, you were wild lying. I wasn't sure how it was going to be with you. I'm like, because, you know, ain't no changing job yet. She's a stubborn person. So, you know, I didn't know if you was going to be softer, more gentle. But no, you ain't. You're the same ass nigga as you were before we got married. So
I'm definitely not the same as I was in my early 20s.
No, I'm talking about before we got married. Like,
okay, but that's also before we got married. That's when we got together.
Okay, I'm talking about. Because, like I've been saying that we haven't gone through, like, a newlywed phase to me. Like, for me, I don't feel like our relationship changed once we got married. I feel like you say you disagree. But for me, I don't really see a difference. I guess maybe I thought there would be a newlywed phase. I thought we would be, like, you know. I thought we would maybe experience some of that. But I don't think we have, in my opinion. So, maybe that's probably what I imagined.
Okay. How do I envision marriage in general? I didn't really have many examples of marriage to look at. So I didn't really think about it much. As I got older, I feel like in a way I kind of felt like I would get married because it was just the thing to do. Like, you get married, you have a family, whatever. I don't think I had ever really put much thought into it. Once I got kind of later in my teens and started kind of realizing that I didn't know the word polyamory or nothing like that. But in practice, that was what I had going on. I was like navigating relationships with multiple people to the knowledge of everyone involved and all that kind of stuff. So I did not, but I didn't see how that would align with marriage. So I didn't see myself getting married. I saw myself essentially just being solo poly, which I ain't know that term at the time, but that's what it was. So that was my view. And then I was in a relationship, before Courtney with someone who I started to consider like marriage, and then it just was like, you know, toxic and stuff. So then I was like, okay, this sounds cute or whatever, but like for now, like you don't need to marry this person. So after that relationship ended, I went back to just being like, okay, I really just kind of don't see myself getting married. I thought I would just be out, just kind of out here, not like wilding, but just if I'm, you know, kicking it with you, I'm kicking it with you. I wanted to be a parent. So I was really thinking about like, okay, well, do I want to be a single parent? Like, how do I feel about that? I started to contemplate that. Yeah. So my view of marriage in general was that I did not have a lot of examples of it, and I did not envision it for myself. I did not see how it related to me. My view of, or how I envisioned marriage before we got married was this relationship just kind of put things in a different perspective for me. When I first kind of started to have some kind of interest in going down that path with Courtney, I initially didn't see it happening because I did not think she would want to marry me because of me being poly. So I started kind of having thoughts like, oh, this could, like, this is someone I could see that happening with, but not actually, because I don't think they would like take that step with me or whatever. Once being past that part and like closer to us actually like, you know, saying I do, I just saw it as like a way to, I guess, publicly acknowledge what the significance of our relationship is to me, and you know, and like taking on her name and stuff like that because of the relationship being significant to me. So I guess that was what it is. And but I just saw it kind of as a progression of our relationship. I didn't feel like it would completely change it or anything, but like it was just like a continuation. Okay. So, all right. And then what is our joint definition of our relationship? Or I guess like, how would you define our relationship? I guess we kind of have to like curate the definition, but how would you define?
We are married.
Okay. And that's it?
I mean, what am I missing here?
Okay.
What's the question? What am I missing?
The question is about how you define, how we define our relationship. So
it's a marriage.
It is a marriage, but marriage doesn't look the same for everybody. So
it's a Black queer marriage with lesbians.
Okay.
How do you feel? Am I incorrect? Am I missing a question?
I don't know. I guess it's just up to your interpretation or your perception. I guess how I view our relationship is a partnership that's not not like held to any, like, I guess, like necessarily traditional gender roles, because we are both women. And we also, I think it's kind of like summed up to by what I consider to kind of be like our relationship mantra of like choosing each other daily. I think it's just us making a deliberate choice to be with one another and to like be in partnership with one another. So that's what I would say. Or that's what I say. All right. So moving on from that. So I am me doing like my research for this segment and just kind of like lining up all these different topics and stuff like that. One of the things that I saw that someone mentioned, this was like a marriage and family therapist who was talking about just changes that relationships go through. And so they're talking about like the cycle of, or like the progression of a relationship. Like you're in that honeymoon stage, or like, you know, that infatuation. You're literally like, you high, you know, so it's like you want to spend all this time with this person. You're in your mind, you emphasize the positive and kind of downplay the negative or whatever. Like you're just, you know, all is great. And then you shift from that to you kind of stabilize. And then you may get to a point where things may get a little stagnant, or you feel like, oh, you're not doing the things you used to do, whatever. So it's just kind of typical cycles that relationships go through. And so what she mentioned was that she said that basically people, what she found in her counseling people is that they tend to go from being each other's escape to being each other's obligation. And so I wanted to know, like, if you felt like that was the case, if that's something that's true, or is it possible to be both or whatever? And it's like that's something that causes issues in a relationship.
You're asking me about you going from being my escape to my obligation?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm asking, do you feel like that is true? Do you feel like that's what happens in relationships in general, or what has happened in our relationship? Mm-hmm. If so, how do you feel about that? And is it possible to be both? Or so just what your thoughts are on that statement?
Well, I think it's true in general. I think it's true in a relationship. I think that changed when we moved in together, when he became my obligation. You became my obligation when we moved in together. I no longer was working for just myself. I was working for us to put food on our table, to pay for our rent, and now for our mortgage. So yeah, it's different. There's a difference between when you're just dating and living separately, and then once you move in together and you're sharing responsibilities like that. It's an obligation. How do I feel about it? Or I don't remember the order of how I feel about it, or can it be both? But how do I feel about it? I mean, it is what it is. Nothing I can really do about that. But do I think it can be both? Yes, I think you're also my escape from the outside world when I've had a terrible day. I think that can also be, it's also a fine line to walk with you being the escape, because then you also, it's like a fine line between being an escape and a dumping ground. Because if I'm escaping from the outside world to you, sometimes it can end up being me bringing the trouble from the outside world to you. So I think there's a fine line there. But I think you can be both an obligation and an escape.
Okay, so I mean, in general, I agree. I do think that typically in relationships, folks go from being, you know, an escape to obligation. It's kind of like, okay, well, you go from everything is about all these positive feelings and having a good time and being infatuated and lust and all that kind of stuff to, oh, well, now I have like some type of, I have to be accountable to this person. It's not just about a good time. It's about, oh, well, this is what I said I would do. I need to follow through. They're relying on me for something. They're depending on me for something or whatever. So that does change the dynamic of the relationship, changes like the tone of the relationship. I would not say that. So I do feel like, you know, there can be like escapism in that. However, I feel like for me personally, that's not necessarily how I view my relationship. I do feel like I have obligations to you. I don't feel like, I would not say that you're my escape. Because I think that similar to what you're saying in terms of, I think there's, you know, the things we go through out in the world. And there are some parallels for things that we go through. So it's not like an escape. Like if I share that with you or I'm kind of like unpacking that with you, it's not an escape because it's like you can relate. So it's not like it's not like I really actually get to kind of escape from those things. I can be understood in those things, but not necessarily escape from them because like. If, for instance, if I'm feeling like, oh, well, I'm dealing with imposter syndrome. Okay. Well, if I'm dealing with that, like, let's say at work and I talk to you about it, that's not an escape. Like you can relate. So I can feel understood. So I don't have to feel alone in it, but that's not me escaping from it.
I don't understand.
So I feel like an escape is like, either it's like you getting away from something or a distraction or something like that.
So if I couldn't relate to it and you talked to me about it, that would be an escape?
No. What I'm saying is if I came to you and instead of even like talking about, I'm just coming to you to like distract me from it. Like I'm not focusing on it. I'm like, I'm coming to you. Cause like when I think about escape, I think about like a getaway, a vacation mm-hmm. or something like that. So if I come to you and I'm like, I'm not trying to necessarily talk about this. I'm just coming to you to get away from it. I'm coming to you so that I can do whatever, you know, something else to not even focus on that. I'm not processing through this with you. I'm not talking to you about it. All I'm doing is getting away from it.
So you're saying you're talking to me about it because you know, I can relate. So therefore I'm not an escape.
What I'm saying is that's not how our relationship functions for me. I don't come to you and say, okay, well, let me go, like something happened at work. Let me go talk to Courtney about this totally unrelated thing so I can escape this. I'm not seeking to escape from, I just don't think that it's possible to escape from the issues I face in the world. You face a lot of the same issues. So I don't know how better else to explain it. And I feel like I'm getting redundant. Yeah, so,
I don't understand.
So yeah. But anyway, my point is that, so yeah, I don't look at my relationship as an escape, but I do look at it as a haven or a home. And I don't feel like that's the same. Now, a retreat or something, because I feel like it's kind of like this is a place that you can go and kind of like you can process, you can recharge, you can, you know, be taken care of and all that kind of stuff. Like you can be nurtured. Yeah, that doesn't make the stuff go away. That is my point. It doesn't make it go away. So I don't look at my relationship to take my problems away, to take my issues away.
And when I think of an escape, that's what I think of, because when people use things for escapism, then it's like to take it away, to distract from it, to like it's not there. And my relationship doesn't do that. And I don't expect it to, because I don't think that's a realistic expectation. Whatever I'm going through is not going to cease to exist inside my relationship. If anything, it might be magnified if I'm bringing it home or whatever. And so I have the obligation to work through whatever it is so that I'm not just unloading this stuff on her. So that's why I don't think it's an escape. I can't just leave it. Some things do come home with us, but we have, you know, but, you know, we don't have to like hold it against each other or anything like that. Process through, do what we have to do. But that's not an escape to me. That's like, okay, you have a place you can come home to. You can recharge, a place where you can recharge. You don't have to be drained and all that, because the world can be draining, so that you can go back out into the world. But you still got to go back out, you know, and do what you got to do or whatever. So I think that, yes, it can become an obligation, and people can view that as a negative thing. I don't view that as a negative thing, because I think that there is, I'm obligated to this person, but I also receive from this person. So it's balanced out to me. Like, okay, yeah, I'm obligated, but that is my home. So why wouldn't I be obligated to my home? Like, my home covers me. My home, like, you know, that's where I'm safe. So why wouldn't I be obligated to my home or whatever? So mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't look at an obligation as a negative thing. Anyway, I feel like that was long and may not have made sense, but whatever. I mean, this what y'all getting. I mean, because this is the whole point, you know, the segment is like, okay, well, to be able to, you know, process through some stuff, talk about it or whatever. All right. So the last thing for this episode is to touch on love languages, and we'll actually be circling back to them. So what I want to know is what your top two love languages are. And then what our homework basically will be for a week. So we can decide like what day we're going to start and whatever. But for a week, to do at least one thing that speaks to your partner's top two love languages daily for a week and see how it goes. So we're both going to share our top two. And so it would just be, you know, each day we each just do a couple things that's specific to each other's love language or whatever. And it's something that we should be. So like Courtney doesn't have to announce like, I'm doing this for your love language, but she should like be aware of it for herself. Like, okay, I'm specifically doing this. And it because so that we can have a conversation about like, hey, is this something that actually resonated with you? Because mm-hmm. if it is targeted towards your love language, then it probably will stand out to you. So we're not going to be like, hey, I'm gonna do this on this day and this on that day. No, but I can, you know, she's going to share what hers are. I'm going to share what mine are. And then we have to, you know, take it upon ourselves to be like, okay, let me do something that, you know, specifically goes toward that. And then we will come back and talk about how that went. Did we notice it? What things worked? What things didn't work? That kind of thing. Because the whole point is to be deliberate and to not just like, oh, let me just do what I think she would like, or what I think I should do, or what I would like done for me. But let me do something that speaks specifically to her love language. All right. So what are your top two love languages? And because we retook the quiz, we had taken it a while ago. So what are your top two love languages? Did they change or whatever? What's your, you know, just give a little some insight into that.
My top two love languages are words of affirmation and acts of service. I don't know if they've changed. I feel like they have.
They have.
But, you know, I mean, I'm in a different place mentally right now, so I'm surprised. And I can't remember what it was last time, but physical touch is like my lowest at only 2 out of 12. And quality time is pretty low as well. So, yeah, words of affirmation. Just, I guess I'm feeling pretty insecure right now. I as I was answering the questions, I was feeling like really needy. So I don't know what that's about. And then acts of service, like, yeah. And that might just because, I don't know. Just feeling like I need a lot of help right now.
I do think, well, for one, I know they yours definitely have changed because I remember. And then, I mean, I think they just change over time. A lot of times, because it depends on where you are in your life. Mine, for the most part, have stayed the same. But like if you haven't taken the love language, I'm going to include the love languages quiz in the show notes. But if you haven't taken it, it kind of like ranks stuff based on the questions that you answer. And so
my numbers have kind of changed, but for the most part, the order of them is the same. So my top two are quality time and acts of service. Quality time and acts of service usually are my top two. But acts of service is usually my highest. And usually, well, I won't say usually. Initially, it used to be my highest by a few. Like, it was like significantly higher than all the rest of them. And over time, that has decreased. So it's like my top two are very close. And then the other three are kind of close. Physical touch is like my lowest one. But yeah, quality time, I think, is number one. And then acts of service is number two. And so they kind of flip flop a little bit. And then right underneath those was words of affirmation, which that's probably like the highest that words of affirmation has been for me, because usually it's not particularly high. Usually like words of affirmation and receiving gifts are usually like fairly low, whatever. Quality time is usually like my highest one. So yeah, but yeah, so the goal is to do two things daily that speaks to, you know, the love languages. So, and I mean, that's kind of up to us to discern like how to execute that or whatever, but the goal is to be deliberate, like do things that deliberately speak to your partner's love language. And the reason that we're going to kind of do that and then circle back is because then we'll be able to give one another feedback, and because there may be, I'm sure, be things that we can do better to meet, because I might think, oh, well, this is a way for me to speak to this love language, and it may not be exactly what she needs. So yeah, so we'll get an opportunity to discuss it and, like, you know, figure out what works best. Okay, so that's it for this episode. And I just wanted to mention kind of like a couple of my references/inspirations. So for this particular episode, and for a few of them, because I wrote down a lot of stuff, I looked at some interviews and social media stuff and like books and pamphlets and stuff. And two of the main professionals that I looked at were Dr. Maria Dominguez. She is a marriage and family therapist. And then Morgan Johnson, who is a licensed professional counselor. I think she also goes by Mojo. Dr. Maria Dominguez is like Dr. D the MFT on Instagram. And Morgan Johnson is like Connect with Morgan Johnson or something like that on Instagram. And how I came across them was actually through the Love Hour podcast. They were guests on there. And so I kind of listened, and then I went and wanted to know more about their work. And then I just started reading a lot of their work and taking notes and stuff like that. And so a lot of the things, concepts that I'll reference are from them, not only from them, but I did pull from them for some of the stuff. All right. So that is it for this segment. So yeah, we'll circle back to love languages and some other stuff when we do the next couples therapy segment. And that's basically it. Before I go, I just want to mention, don't forget to follow Spectra Wellness on Instagram. And also don't forget the goal for this season for Patreon. So the goal is 10 patrons. So I'm like halfway there. So I think it's doable. I mean, I still got like some time. This season is not over until for a while. So I still have some time with that. You have anything to add for the end?
Let your soul glow. Let your soul glow.
She's a weirdo. All right. Thank y'all for tuning in this first BRQ Couples Therapy segment. And yeah, that's it for now. It's late, so time to shut this thing on down.
Know what's about to happen.
Oh, God. Yeah, let me make sure Charmaine cuts that out. Good night. Bye, y'all.
Black Radical Queer is a Main Hustle Media podcast hosted by Javia Nicole. BRQ is produced and edited by Charmaine Fury, and the show's theme music was created by The Brothers Records. You can connect with us on Twitter or Instagram at Black Rat Queer. That's BLKRADQWR. You can also connect with us on Facebook through the Black Radical Queer Podcast Facebook fan page or the BRQ discussion group. You can get Black Rat Queer merch on teespring.com/BlackRatQueer, BLKRADQWR. And you can leave a voicemail, call in, ask a question, those types of things on the BRQ Google Voice line. And that number is 937-601-8647.
Main Hustle Media. Turn your side hustle into your main hustle.